The following program is brought to you by the friends and partners of Andrew Womack Ministries, celebrating 40 years of sharing God's unconditional love and grace. Welcome to Gospel Truth with Andrew Womack. On today's program, Andrew explains how miraculous changes can take place in your life when you stop limiting God with small thinking. Now, here's Andrew.
Welcome to our Wednesday's broadcast of the Gospel Truth. Today I'm continuing a brand new series that I started this last Monday talking about Don't Limit God. And I taught a similar teaching back in January. Well, actually I taught it probably around September or October of 2002. But in January the 31st of 2002, I had the Lord speak to me and impact me, in my estimation, the second most important encounter I ever had with the Lord happened when God told me I was limiting Him by my small thinking. And the scripture that really brought this to life is Psalm 78:41. It says, "Yea, they turned back and tempted God and limited the Holy One of Israel." And in the first 2 days of this week, I've given a little bit of personal testimony, but mainly I've been trying to apply this directly to you. I believe that every one of us limit God by our small thinking. We have an infinite, limited, unlimited God, and He wants to do things that are supernatural in our life. We don't have to be bound to the natural. We don't have to just do things the way that everybody else does. God Almighty, if you study the Word, there is just supernatural after supernatural experience where He had people do things that are beyond the natural. Matter of fact, I've often said it this way, that if your life isn't supernatural, it's superficial. That's a strong statement. But you know what? If you are truly born again, God's plans for you are good plans. Jeremiah 29:11, "I know the thoughts that I think towards you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end." God wants to give you a predictable future. You don't have to just live your life like rolling the dice and wonder what's going to happen in case sarah, sarah, whatever will be. Trust it to fate. Sovereign God knows what's going on. No, God has a plan for your life, for every single person. But you have to pursue that plan. You have to cooperate. It takes faith, and you have to stretch yourself. You have to take risk. You have to go beyond what's normal. You have to do things that literally, if God doesn't come through, you're going to die. If you take any person in the Bible who was a success and that we look at and talk about how that they believed God, like if you were to turn over to the 11th chapter of the book of Hebrews and read what is often called the Hebrews Hall of Fame, where it talks about Noah and Abraham and David and Moses and all of these people, you go through any one of these lives and they did something that was out of the norm. They did something that they suffered ridicule for. They did things that people that were just operating as a natural human being like everybody else would have looked at them and have criticized them over. For instance, Noah built an ark when there had never been rain on the earth. There had never been such a thing as a flood. And here was this man building this huge ark and bringing two of everything and I think seven of all of the clean animals into the ark and doing all of this. And people ridiculed him, and it took a long period of time. Some people have estimated it took 100 years for him to build this ark on dry land, this huge, huge boat, by far the largest craft ever built on the face of the earth at that time. And here he is building it on dry land. You know what? That's a little bit out of the normal. That's a little bit exceptional. And yet, here we are talking about him nearly, 4,000 years, 5,000 years later, talking about the faith that this man had. You look at Abraham, and he left his house. He left his kindred. He came out, and he began to tell people, "I'm the father of many nations," when he didn't even have a child. And when he finally had a child at 100 years old, About 17 years later, God told him to sacrifice that child, and he was willing to do something totally out of the norm. He was willing to do something that made no sense in the natural, and yet a supernatural God led him to do it and came through and blessed him because of it. And here we are 4,000 years later talking about Abraham, and everybody knows about the blessings of Abraham, and he became so prosperous and so blessed by God that nations came out and asked him to leave because his net worth was worth more than the entire nation all put together. You can go on and talk about David. David took risk. David did things. He went out and fought a giant, which in the natural, that's beyond natural ability. He was just a youth. He was probably 5 foot or less, facing a giant that was probably around 10 foot, twice as tall, a man of war, a man who had been trained in war. And David went out without all of the protection and the armor. All he did was get a sling and 5 smooth stones, and he went out and he overcame. And David faced all of these difficulties, and here we are talking about him about 3,000 to 4,000 years later and talking about how his faith was. And we could go on and talk about people, but every single person who we look at as a success, every person who made a difference, who changed the world, and from a godly perspective, in a positive way, every one of them had to get out of just thinking normal and natural. I tell you, natural thinking limits the supernatural ability of God in your life. You've got to recognize that God flows through us. And here's a point that I was making on our program yesterday, and it needs to be amplified. But there are a lot of people who just believe that God sovereignly controls everything, that nothing happens but what is God's will. So therefore, really, God's will is constantly being done. And most people put limits on that because it is illogical to believe that God controls everything. Most people don't go to the vast extreme, but there are some, and I've actually used this not too long ago on my program. I actually was watching a television program. If I was to mention this person's name, many of you, probably most of you, would know who this is. But this man had a woman on who was, her and her daughter were both abducted at gunpoint, taken out into the country. They were both raped, and then he had them lay on their stomachs, and he shot both of these women, the woman and her daughter, in the head. And killed the daughter. The woman survived and lived through it, and she was recovered. And she was on this Christian television program saying that God works all things together for good. And she was saying, I don't know why God did this. And she was crediting God as being the inspiration behind this man who abducted them, raped them, murdered her daughter, tried to murder her and cause some lasting physical problems. And she was saying God did all of that. Now, most of you watching this will reject that and say, oh, no, that's not. God doesn't do those kind of things. Well, I agree. And I'm even going to backtrack a lot more than that. God is not the author of any of the junk going on in your life. God's not the one that causes cancer in your body. Jesus died to set you free from sickness. God is not the one that's causing failure in you. God's not the one who's caused people to be depressed and discouraged. This is not God's will. God is not the one who's killing people. It amazes me. I go to these funerals and people get up and say, well, we know that their number must have been up. We don't know why God took them. And people just assume that when a person dies, it must be God that did this. And yet the Lord told Adam and Eve, don't eat of this tree because when you eat, you're going to die. He warned them against death. He told them not to do it. Mankind is the one that put death into this world and introduced it. It says over in the book of Hebrews chapter 2 that Jesus came to destroy him that had the power of death. That is the devil. Satan is the one who kills, steals, and destroys. John chapter 10, verse 10. Satan is the author of death. God is not the author of death. Now, it is true that God has struck people, and there are times that God has judged people, but I'm saying with the exception of final judgment, God is not the one who's killing people and having you to cause cancer, to have cancer and all of these kind of things. God isn't controlling that. And if you believe that God just supernaturally, sovereignly controls everything, Well, then it gives place to this complacency, to this attitude of que sera, sera, whatever will be, will be. And you just go along and muddle through life, and you get fired from jobs because you're lazy and you aren't a good worker, and you say, well, it must be God's will. And you get a divorce because you're operating in absolute selfishness and you don't think about the other person, and you're getting drunk and wasting the money and doing this, and, well, I don't know, it must be God's will. And you're sick because you've been smoking and you got emphysema, or you've been doing something, and, well, it must be God's will. I tell you, that's wrong. I don't know how to make this any clearer than what I've done. You know, I've got an entire teaching on this. I've taught on this a lot, so I'm not going into as great a detail as I have in the past. But God does not control everything that goes on in your life. God has a perfect plan for your life. I believe that God has a purpose for every single person, but that purpose doesn't automatically come to pass. He has given you a free will. You are a free moral agent, and you have the ability to choose. You know, there's so many scriptures that go along with this, but an obvious one, Deuteronomy chapter 30, verse 19. He said, behold, I call heaven and earth to record against you this day that I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore, choose life that you and your seed may live. God says, I give you the choice. God's got a plan. He's got a plan of blessing, a plan of life. Here's His plan over here. It's life and it's blessing. If you choose your own way, it's death. It's destruction. This ought to be a no-brainer. Life, death, blessing, cursing. Man, everybody ought to pass this test. But just in case you struggle with this for whatever reason, God says, choose life. Amen. That's like saying, here's your test. Which would you rather have? A, life. B, death. And then in parentheses, he says, A's the answer. Choose life that you and your seed may live. But that very scripture shows you that God gives you the choice. God has a plan for your life. I really believe that. And I'm going to amplify that more when we get into this teaching and talk about that each one of us has a destiny. But God doesn't make you follow that path. God will encourage you. He will draw you. He will supernaturally empower you to do things beyond human ability when you are following Him and doing what He's told you to do. But push comes to shove, you have the choice to run your life. And I tell you, this is something that people do not like. Our modern day world has basically come to a place to where we shun responsibility and accountability at all cost. And we blame somebody else. I think that psychology has done a huge disservice to the human race by coming along and saying that the reason you are the jerk that you are, the reason that your life is so messed up, is because this person did this to you and because this happened. And we basically are saying that the reason I am the way I am is because of what has been done to me, outside influences, which leads us to the conclusion that we aren't responsible. I'm telling you, you are responsible. You may have had some challenges in your life that I haven't had. I'm not saying that there aren't external influences that try and derail us and hinder us, but every person has the ability to choose life or death, blessing or cursing. That's what God said in Deuteronomy 30:19. God gave you the choice. You've got a choice whether you become bitter or better. If all there was, if all you were was like an animal, that something happens and you're just a hunk of chemicals and you respond to external stimuli and you are forced to do this. No, we are humans created in the image of God, and you have a choice whether you become bitter or better. And because of that, see, that's the reason that siblings who've been raised in the exact same family have the exact same gene pool, they have the exact same environment, turn out totally differently because we have a choice of how we respond. Not every person that was raised in an alcoholic home becomes an alcoholic. Some of them will go the exact opposite direction and become a total teetotaler, and they will never touch any liquor. Not every person that is raised in a home where there was divorce goes out and gets a divorce, because some people see the damage and they choose to respond differently and go a different direction. Not every person that was raised in abject poverty becomes poor or stays poor. Some of them just determine, I am not going to live that way, and they choose. According to Deuteronomy 30:19, you have the ability to choose life or death, blessing or cursing. I'm telling you that this doctrine that is so pervasive in the body of Christ, that says God sovereignly controls everything, nothing happens but what God wills. We are just like pawns and we are being moved. And if you are going through a divorce, if you're going through sickness, if you're going through poverty, if you're going through depression, if your life is a mess, basically this is God either punishing you or trying to work something redemptive in you and make you better through all your sufferings. That is a wrong doctrine. That is not what the Word says. It's so obvious. You know what? You'd have to be, boy, forgive me for just saying this stuff, but I don't know how else to get it across. You'd have to be religious to believe something like that. It's just illogical. It's illogical to blame God for all of the terrible things that are going on in this world and in this life and in your individual life. God is a good God. God, that is not God's will for you. God loves you. God is not out punishing you. God is not the one that's making your life miserable. I'm telling you that if you don't understand that God has a plan, but you get to choose, if you don't understand your part in this, and if you just have this fatalistic attitude to where whatever God wants is going to come to pass, regardless of what you do, then you will always limit God because you aren't going to take any personal responsibility. There's going to be no accountability on your part. Man, just eat, drink, be merry, because whatever God's will is going to happen anyway. That's the attitude that's being portrayed by a lot of Christians. I'm telling you that that's wrong. And in my estimation, I think that that is the worst doctrine in the body of Christ today. I run up against this all of the time, and people just, they pray, oh God, if it's your will, heal me. That prayer is never going to get you healed. You need to know what God's will is. The Bible makes it very clear that by His stripes you were healed, 1 Peter 2:24. It's already been done. God's already put this power on the inside of you. Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 19, the same power that raised Christ from the dead is now on the inside of you. And so you have to take this authority. In James 4:7, submit yourselves unto God and then resist the devil and resist that sickness that is from the devil. And Proverbs chapter 18, verse 21, death and life are in the power of your tongue. So start using your words to curse that sickness and disease and release the life of God. And if you don't learn your part, if you just say, oh God, heal me, stretch forth your hand, what's God going to do that He hasn't already done? By His stripes you were healed. It's already been done. He's put that power on the inside of you. Now it's up to you to take that authority and power and resist the devil, and he will flee from you. If you don't understand this, you are never going to see God's will come to pass in your life. And I tell you, the body of Christ, I believe one of the motivations that they teach this so much is because it just takes away responsibility from them. Ministers don't want to be held responsible. They don't want to stand up there and say, God wants you well. God wants you to prosper. God wants your marriage to work, because we see failure all around us. And rather than say, you know what? You didn't believe God. Now, that's not the only reason that failure happens. Sometimes there are things that you have to have cooperation and help from other people. Like in a marriage, one person can't just make that marriage work. There's two people. And so there are some people who they've believed God, but their mate wasn't believing God and something happens. There is sometimes that, you know, you may be believing God and walking in health, but somebody else comes and shoots you and does something. And you have, you know, there's all kinds of variations. But I'm saying that rather than take the responsibility and say you can believe God and you can overcome these things, if you say that, then sooner or later somebody is going to have failure in their life and you're going to have to say, you know what, you aren't believing God. And rather than do something that would be politically incorrect and tell a person that they aren't doing everything that they should, that sitting in front of television and watching as the stomach turns 4 hours a day isn't going to get it done, rather than say that and come against any person's lifestyle, and rather than tell them that something they're doing is wrong, we just say, well, God works in mysterious ways. We know God must have worked this together for good. It's a cop-out. It's an excuse. And, you know, I personally believe that this is why evolution is so popular among unbelievers today, is because if God created us, and if we are going to someday stand before God and give an answer and be held accountable for what we've done, well, then I guarantee you, most people, if they believe that, would not live the life that they're living. But it's attractive to unbelievers to believe that we just came from slime and that we evolved and all of this is accidental and that there is no divine creator and that we're no different than a dog or a cat. And so we don't have to have any different morality than a dog or a cat. We can act like an alley cat. We can do whatever because we don't ever have to be held accountable. We don't have to stand before God. I guarantee you, evolution does not make sense. I'm not going to teach on evolution. I could go into the science. There's thousands of scientists who aren't even Christians today who are rejecting evolution and coming up with what they call, intelligent design. Rather than just say that it's God, they're saying there has to be some intelligent power behind all of these things that have happened because the odds are just too great. You could go into the science of it. You could go into the mathematical probability. I've heard that if you took a bomb and it exploded it in a plant where they make planes, and if a nuclear bomb went off and the results of it was in a 747 jet assembled, fully functional and working, that would be one billionth the impossibility level of evolution taking place. Or you could say that it's a billion times more probable that something like that would happen than evolution. And of course, everybody knows that that would never happen. Evolution doesn't make sense, but it is attractive because people want to believe it because it takes away accountability to God. It is a cop-out. And in the religious realm, I believe that this teaching on the sovereignty of God is a cop-out. It allows people to say, well, God, you know, just must have some purpose in this. We know that all things work together for good. You know, I'll deal with that more on our program tomorrow. I'm just about out of time today. But I'm trying to get this point across that before you can start seeing the limits taken off of God and seeing God's best come to pass in your life, you have to accept responsibility and accountability and recognize that God has a will. And it's a plan for your life. But you have the choice. And you have to cooperate with God. And you have to pursue the things of God. And if you are unwilling to accept that responsibility, if you are unwilling to embrace that if people don't believe God, then bad things happen. Not because it's God's will, but because God didn't have anybody cooperating with Him and anyone to release His power through. If you're unwilling to accept that, then I guarantee you, you are limiting God big time by your just either ignorance or your rejection of the truth. I'm not saying any of these things to be hard. I'm just telling you the way that it is. You've got to recognize, just like Psalm 78:41 says, that they limited God. That is an exact quote from Scripture. And for you to say, no, God cannot be limited, God does whatever He wants, is unscriptural. And I don't care how many people are teaching it. I don't care how many churches embrace it. I don't care how attractive it might be at the moment. It's not what the Word of God says. You need to come to grips that God has a plan, but you get to choose, or you have to choose. And I'm just helping you to make the right choice. I've got a lot more to share on this, but I'm going to have to continue it on my program tomorrow. I would encourage you to listen in then as we continue talking about Don't Limit God. And also listen as our announcer gives you some information. I've got a brand new teaching out on this that I just made January the 1st, 2nd, and 3rd of 2009. I think this will really help you, so call or write today.
Andrew's five-part teaching titled Don't Limit God was recorded live at a recent Gospel Truth seminar. It's available in either a CD album or a DVD album for a gift of any amount. Request CD album T1060C or DVD album T3204D when you contact us. You can also get Andrew's teaching as seen on TV by requesting DVD album T1060D when you send a gift of any amount to this ministry. Your gifts help Andrew bring the almost too good to be true news of the gospel into countless homes every day. We can't overemphasize how grateful we are to you. The first teaching in the audio CD album titled Don't Limit God, Part 1 is also available for a gift of any amount. We encourage everyone to send a gift, but if you're simply unable to afford it, Andrew and his partners will provide this first teaching free of charge. Request teaching TK147C when you write or call, and we'll be pleased to send it to you. Everyone who sends a gift today will receive the bonus Don't Limit God sticker. This reversible static decal will cling to your window or mirror, reminding you not to limit God with small thinking.
I'd like to encourage you to call in and let one of our prayer ministers minister to you. You know, we have this product that I'd like you to get, but also I know that many of you today have had God speak to you and you recognize that, man, you haven't been stretching yourself. You've been taking this attitude, this fatalistic attitude, and you're just going through life. And you have been stirred up today and you don't know exactly what to do with it. We have a lot of people on our phones that would answer your calls, that would pray with you, that would help you. So when you call, not only ask for the materials, but also ask someone to pray with you. And I tell you, it could be the beginning of seeing the limits come off God and God's best come to pass in your life.
Visit our website where you can order ministry materials online 24 hours a day, 7 days a week at awmi.net. On our website, you'll not only find materials from today's broadcast, you'll find a wealth of resources free for you to download for yourself and to share with others. Or you can use your credit card to order by telephone. Our helpline number is 719-635-1111. Helpline hours are from 4 a.m. until 9:30 p.m. Mountain Time. If you prefer to write to us, our address is Andrew Womack Ministries, Box 3333, Colorado Springs, 80934. We hope to hear from you today.
I'd like to give all the men watching a special invitation to join me on February the 5th through the 7th here at our headquarters in Colorado Springs for a men's advance. We're going to have big 6'7" Dave Hinton leading praise and worship. And I tell you, he was just at our ministers conference and he stole the show. He is awesome. I'm going to be teaching the word. Also, Wendell Parr, the director of our Charis Bible College, will be ministering. We have a lot of fun activities and chili suppers. And I think we're going to go bowling. And it's just a great, great time. And we always see men's lives change. So remember that this is February the 5th through the 7th. Right here at our headquarters in Colorado Springs.
We'd like to point out Andrew's upcoming speaking schedule. Mark your calendars to come meet Andrew at one of these events and let the Word of God transform your life. He'll be in Colorado Springs for the annual Charis Bible College Men's Advance, February 5th through the 7th, Houston, Texas, February 12th through the 14th, and in Atlanta, Georgia, March 5th through the 7th. He'll also be in Colorado Springs for the Charis Bible College weekend, March 12th through the 14th, and in Merritt Island, Florida, April 19th through the 22nd. For more details on Andrew's next meeting in your area, call our helpline or visit our website at awmi.net.